Today's shiur is a Masechet Nazir and Daf Nun Dalet. We will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis, 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud, with the last word on the line, Hai Eivir Menachai Heichi Dami. As a short Hakdama, the Gemara here is referring back to the words of the Mishnah, that Eivir Menameis Oy Menachai Sheyesh Olav Basar Karoy, that if you have flesh from a deceased person or from a living person, and there is enough flesh on the bone that had it been attached to a live person, it would have been able to regenerate. So then the halacha is, if such an aver is found detached from the mace or the chai, it is metame, ba'oyel, b'mage, u'b'masa, and a nazir is megalei halav. As we've learned previously, it's metame within a tent, it's metame by touching, by carrying, and not only is the person Tomei who comes in contact with the Eivir HaMeis or the Eivir HaChai, but the Nazir would likewise have to be Megaleach on such a Tumah. We had a question yesterday in the Gemara, Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish. What happens if Ein Olav Basar Karoy? If it did not have enough flesh to regenerate? So Tosfos already told us, and the second Tosfos on this Amud, Divrei HaMaskil, Ein Olav Basar Karoy, that, of course, there's no question that it would not be metame b'oil, because that is said distinctly in the Mishnah, that the only way that it's metame b'oil is if there is enough flesh. If there's not enough flesh, it is certainly not metame b'oil. The machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish is whether it is metame b'maga u'b'masa or not. We learned that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Nazir is not Megaleach. That's the Gemara's question. Is it Metame enough that a Nazir should be Megaleach? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Nazir would not be Megaleach. And Rabbi Shlakish said that a Nazir would be Megaleach, even if it didn't have enough flesh to regenerate, if it was Bemaga u'Bemasa. And now the Gemara wants to know exactly what is the case where we have a Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish. Again, we are 11 lines from the bottom of the Amud, the last word. Hai Eivir Menameis Hechidomi. What is the case of Eivir Menameis where we have this Machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rosh Lakish? E de ispe etzem kisayra, if it's speaking about that there was a bone that was as large as a barley grain, and he touched it or he carried it, there was maga or masa, so my time at Rabbi Yochanan. What is the reason why Rabbi Yochanan says that the Nazir would not be Megaleach? We have learned in the Mishnah, Amem Tesamid Beis, that in such a case, by Etzem Kesayra, the Nazir would be Megaleach. So what's the reason why Rabbi Yochanan says he would not be Megaleach? Ve'i deles be Etzem Kesayra, and if it is not a bone as big as a barley grain, then in fact, my time at the Rish Lakish, what's the reason of Rish Lakish who says that the Nazir would be Megaleach? Amalach Rish Lakish, or Rish Lakish will answer you, lo'ilam deles be Etzem Kesayra. Really, it's speaking about that there was not an Etzem Kesayra. The afal pihachi rachmana ravye. But even so, we're going to find a brisa where the Torah said that if you touched or carried this bone, even though it is not as big as a barley grain, and even though it does not have flesh to regenerate, it is still tamei b'magu b'masa, and the nazir will have to be megaleach the sanya, because we have learned in a brisa. Now, actually, we're going to bring here two brises. The first brise, as we will see momentarily, has to do with Tumas Oil. And the second brise, which we will find on Daf Nundalad Amid Aleph, has to do with Tumas Maga. And really, Rabbeinu Peretz speaks out that the first brise of Oil is not Nageya. Because our whole Shaila, as we just explained, was a Eivir min HaMeis or min HaChai, which did not have on it Basar Karoy, whether it's Metame B'Mago B'Masa, so that the Nazir should be Megaleach. So why would we want to bring a Brice that has to do with Tumas Oil? And on this, Rabbeinu Peretz answers that since there is no Gemara on Masechta Taharis, the Radzina Rebbe, he was the one who made the Sidrei Tahara, and he collected from all of Shas, Bavli and Yerushalmi, where the Gemara elaborates on Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. But as far as the Bavli is concerned itself, there the Bavli does not have a separate Masechta on Taharis. What the Bavli did is whenever it had a discussion of Tumah v'Tahara, it would elaborate knowing that there is no Bavli on Tahara. So whenever it had an occasion to discuss Hilchas Tumah v'Tahara, it would elaborate more than was actually necessary. So according to this Pshat of Rabbeinu Peretz, this whole first Brisa is not negaya to the Raya of Rish Lakish, that this Etzem, even though it's not Kesaira, could still be Metameh, Ben Magav Masa, for the Nazir to be Galeach. What is the Raya? We will see it from the Brisa of Maga on Nun Dalid Amud Aleph. But let us begin this Brisa of Oyel, the Sanya. The Pasuk says, and this is a Pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Yutes, Pasuk Tezayin, the Pasuk says, V'choyel asher yigal p'nei hasada, b'chalal cherv oy b'meis, oy b'etzim adam, oy b'kever yitma shivas yamim. There is a tumah of 7 days. If a person comes in contact with these various sources of tumah. And now the Gemara goes through each phrase and tells us what it teaches us. Begins the Gemara, Al-Pnei HaSodeh, what is Al-Pnei HaSodeh referring to, as the Rosh and Tosfos point out, that really the Pasuk could have said, V'choil Asher Yigabasodeh, whoever will come in contact. Initially, it would seem that this Pasuk is talking about Maga, because the Pasuk uses the word V'chol Asher Yigah. But the reason that the Torah put in the extra words on Pnei HaSodeh, it didn't just say V'chol Asher Yigah Basodeh B'chalal Cherev B'meis, that he touched a sword, he touched a person killed by a sword, or he touched an actual mace, or a bone, as we will see how the Gemara will interpret each of these phrases. The reason why we added the words Al-Pnei HaSodeh is because it teaches us the following. Al-Pnei HaSodeh, Zeh HaMahil Al-Pnei HaMeis. As the Rosh speaks out, I would have thought that the whole din of oil is when a person is in a tent with a mace or part of a mace together. That's the din. Adam ki yamas boil. The person passed away and he was in a tent. That's when you have the tumas oil. The Pasuk teaches you that the Maga that we are speaking about in this Pasuk is not one of touching, but rather it is one where the person came in contact with the mace. How? By being on the face of the Sodeh, meaning he was over the air of the mace. He is Mal. He becomes the tent itself. I would have thought the only time there's a din of oil is when you have a roof on top of yourself and the mace. Kamash Malon, if you become the roof, if you yourself are a Pnei HaSodeh, then that itself is Tumas Oil. Continues the Gemara. What do we learn from the next phrase? Bachalal Cherev. And here the question is, what is the difference if the halal, the person who was nifter, died through being killed by a sword, or he died regular? He's a mace, and there is a hilchas tumah. So we learn out, b'chalal zeh eiver, and here the Bach puts in the word, zeh eiver hanechlal min hachai, v'yesh lo lahalois arucho. Here we're not speaking about a mace himself, we're speaking about an eiver that was cut off from a chai, it was cut off by a sword from a living person, and it has on it enough flesh to regenerate. So the halacha is that this is tumas oil, as the Rishash speaks out. Once we have interpreted this pasuk to be referring to tumas oil, it is not only on the phrase al pnei hasodeh, but it refers to all the cases that are within this brisa that we are now speaking about. Tumas oil. So the Pasuk says that if there was an oil with an aver that was nechal min achai, that was severed from a living person, and it has enough lahalos arucha to regenerate, if it would have been attached to the person right now, it would have enough flesh to regenerate, such a limb conveys the tumas oil. Then the Pasuk said, b'chalal cherev. So we have a smichus. We have these two words put together, the word of halal, which means the person who was killed, cherev, by way of a sword, and we learn out a halacha, cherev harezek a cholol, that the keli that comes in contact with the cholol, with the person who was nifter, he has, the cherev has the same din as the person who passed away. As Tosis explains in Divrei HaMaschil, cherev harei kecholol, it's not only a cherev, and the Rosh says the same thing in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, it's not the cherev itself, but it's kli matchois, it's any metal keli. Let's see the words of Tosis inside. Cherev harei kecholol, the kli matchis hanoigim, b'meis, Nasim avi avoy satuma kemes atzmoi, that if you have a metal keli that touches a mace, just like the mace is an avi avoy satuma, a father of a father of tuma, he's the source of all tuma, the keli, the metal keli that touches the mace, has the same halacha, concerning what? Letame odom hanageaboy, that if someone touches this cherev, just like the person would become tuma if he touches the mace himself, he would become an avatuma. So too, the sword that touched the mace has a halacha. It doesn't go down like you find in other hilchas tuma. You go down one level. The first one who touches the mace is an avatuma, and then what touches the avatuma is a rishon l'tuma, and then a sheni l'tuma, a shlishi l'tuma, etc. But rather over here, the cherev keeps the same status as the mace itself, which is avi avois, and therefore a person who touches the cherev, it's as if he's touching the avi avois atuma, and he becomes an avatuma. And concerning what? Concerning tuma shiva kinageya b'mace atzmoi, as if he was touching the mace himself. Oy letame odom aboboyol asher acherv b'toichoy tuma shiva kebo el oyol amace. Just like he would come into the tent of a mace, he would be tame for 7 days, so too, if he comes into a tent in which there is a sword or any metal object which touched the mace, he is again coming into the oil of a avi avois atuma, and this person through the oil becomes an avatuma. That's the halacha of cherev hareza kecholol. Now here, the Rosh brings down a machlokas, and this is 7 lines from the small lines at the bottom of the Amud. Says the Rosh, the kiv and the noga cherev b'meis nas avi avoy satuma k'meis atzmei v'lav davke cherev al huadin kol kli matkes anoigim b'meis. That's the Rabbeinu Tam. On this, however, he brings Rabbi Yitzchak misum punti, and actually Tosfos on daf nun dalet amud beis divrei amaskel toshema, the bottom Tosfos also brings Rabbi Yitzchak Misimpunt, and he's going to ask Akasha on the sheet of Rabbi Yitzchak Misimpunt from that Gemara, which B'siyat HaRishmai we will learn at the end of today's shir. What does Rabbi Yitzchak Misimpunt hold? He holds that this din of Cherev HaLarei Kuchol is not only halacha by Kli Matchois, but it's also halacha by Kli Shetev. What is Kli Shetev? Those are Kalim which you are able to be Matar through tefillah in a mikveh, for example, begodim, clothing, or cleates, things that, kalim that are made out of wood, that is also included in cherev hareu kecholol. So, this is our first machlokes in this inyan, whether it applies only to metal kalim or even to wooden kalim or begodim, clothing. And then there's a machlokes, how much is cherev hareu kecholol? How much tuma? Tosfos we saw said that either you touch the mace or you're in the oil of mace. However, the Rambam and the Ramban hold that the only one who could be matame ba'oil is Adam, like the pasuk says, Adam ki yamus ba'oil. However, a keli, even if it's cherev hareu kecholol, does not have the ability to be matame with tumas oil. The Rambam holds that a keli that touched a mace also is not matama b'masa, it's only matama b'maga. So we have here various shittos in the Rishonim, how far, to what extent, does the tuma of cherev hareu kecholol extend? Does it extend even to oil? Does it only extend to maga? And what type of kalim it is? These are the various shittos in the Rishonim. Continues the Gemara. Oi b'mace, the pasuk continues that the person was in an oil with a mace, and here, of course, this seems to be redundant, as the Rishonim speak out. If we just said that the sword that touches a mace has a halacha of aviyah vaysa tumah, so certainly the mace does. Certainly one who comes in contact with the mace will be tumah for 7 days. So the Gemara explains that this pasuk means that aver hanechlal min hamace. This is a bone that was severed from the mace. And as Tosfos brings down, just like we learned the bone of the chai, so too the bone of the mace, v'yesh boi boser kedei lahalos arucha, that the chashev kemeis atzmoi, that has halacha that you are having an oil on top of the mace himself, and it's metame for 7 days. Then the pasuk continues, a person came in contact in an oil, oi be'etzem adam, what is that referred to? Ze roivatzamois, this refers to a roiva, a kav of atzamais, as Tosfos tells us, that this is metame with oil. And Tosfos says, in Divrei Maskal Oy Be'etzem Adam, it's halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that we need a roiva to be metame b'oil. And Tosfos then adds, v'kros machta b'yalma, that even though here we're using the pasuk to be marba, that a roiva atzamais, a quarter of a kav of atzamais, is also metame bo'ayel, but that's only a smachta b'yam, it's a remez in the pasuk, because really this halacha, that a person can become tame in an oil from a roiva atzamais, is halacha l'mayshe v'sini. For another, the Megalech, we learned before, it has to be a half a kav of atzamais, but for it to become tame in general, a roiva atzamais is enough, halacha l'mayshe v'sini. Here, we're bringing it as an asmachta remez b'yam. And finally, the pasuk says, "Oy bekever," or it's a kever. What does this refer to? Ze kever sosum. This refers to a kever in which a person is in, and it is completely sealed. He's in a tomb. He's in a burial vault, and this kever gives off tumah. Now, there are a number of points concerning kever sosum, and we'll go through it one at a time. It's speaking about a case where the mace is in the middle of this burial vault, completely sealed off, but there is space between the mace and one wall, and the mace on the other side with the other wall. There is a space. And the person is not going over to kever exactly where the mace is, because then obviously he would become tame from the mace. But he is going on the side. The question is, does he become tame from going on the side? So, number one, there is no opening of a tefach in this sealed vault. Because if there would be an opening of a tefach, there's no din kever sasim. The halach of kever sasim is that we say that the tumah fills up the entire vault, and therefore, although you are walking on top of the kever, not directly on top of the mace, but since there's halach of kever sasim, if it meets, as we'll soon see, the various criteria for kever sasim, then although you're not going on top of the mace, you're going on top of a tomb that's full of tumah because the mace has been able to spread his tumah throughout the entire interior cavity of the tomb, and therefore it's considered like you're going over the mace, even though you're not going over the mace. You're going over a makom tumah. But that's only number one, if there's no opening of a tefach. If there's an opening of a tefach on the side, then we say that the tumah does not fill up the entire cavity. Secondly, there's an empty space of a tefach between the mace and the roof. If there is no gap of a tefach, then there's a halacha, which Tosfos says is called tumah ritzutza, which we're going to learn about on Nun Dalet Amud Aleph on the top, that the tumah goes straight up and straight down. It does not go on the side. And if you went on the side and didn't go directly on top of the mace, then the person would not become tummy. So if there is no gap of a tefach between the mace and the top of the kever sasim, it's tumah ritzutza, but it will not spread out to the empty spaces. And we have to say that when the Gemara says here, oy bekever, it doesn't mean a kever. The Gemara knew it couldn't mean that you had ground on top of a mace directly covering his body without any spaces at all. Because if that were the case, That's mamish what we learned before, that a person went over a mace. The kever would be no different than a mace that we learned before. Of course it's metame. So that's why the Gemara understood that it must be speaking over here that there is a space of a tefach, and this is the special halacha of kever sosim. And now we go to Daftan Dalet Amud Aleph, the Amar Mar, because we have learned tumah by kasva oila, by kasva yoredes. The tumah goes straight up, it breaks through straight up, and it breaks through straight down. Tosis and other Rishonim explain that this, the Amar Mar, is said agav urcha. It's not, this is, normally the Amar Mar is proving your last halacha. Here it's not proving the last halacha. The last halacha was a din of kever sosim, where even if I don't go directly over the mace, I only go over the side of the mace, and it's still, I still become tamei, because the tumah was able to spread throughout the vault where the mace is contained therein. Here, the Amar Mar is saying, now that I mentioned the din of Kever Sosim, I'm going to continue and tell you another halacha negei tumah, and that is that there is, if there is no tefach between the mace and the top of the vault, then it's not a halacha of Kever Sosim that the tumah fills up the whole cavity of the vault, but rather it goes straight up and straight down. If you went on the side, you do not become tummy. So this, the Amar Mar is different than usual. It means I'm going to tell you also another halacha, which is really the opposite of the halacha of Kever Sosim that we just said before. So that's the halacha, the first brisa of oil, which really has no riot to Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan were disputing Maga Masa. The Ilu Gabi Negiyah, now comes the second brisa, which is talking about it. Negiyah. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, and if you look in Tosfos, it would seem that Tosfos did not have this girsa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Tosfos goes straight, top Tosfos. The Ilu Gabi Negiyah Tanya. When it's concerning Negiyah, we learned in another brisa, and this is referring to a pasuk about Midbar Yutes, pasuk Yutches. The pasuk says, the Lokach Ezoi, the Tavo Bamayim Ishtor, the Hizal Oyo, Valkola Kalim, Valanafoshes, Asher Hoyisham Va'al Hanoigeya Be'etzem Oy Becholol Oy Bemeis Oy Bekover. And here is Nageya, and here it's not al pnei asod, it's not oil, here it's mamish Nageya. What does it say? Ve'ilu gabi Nageya Tanya, we learned in a brisa, and here the Bach tells us that it should, the Mesoris HaShas tells us that it should be Va'al HaNageya Be'etzem Oy Becholol, and we had learned the entire pasuk Oy Bemeis Oy Bekover. What does each of these phrases teach us? So let's go one at a time. Be'etzem Ze'etzem Kesoira. That even though etzem kesoira is not metame boil, but it is metame, if it's a bone as big as a barley grain, it's metame b'magav masa. The Rush later is going to explain to us how do we see masa from here. The Gemara is going to explain it. The Rush will have a question on Rish Lakish, as we'll soon see. But from now, right now, we see clearly that etzem kesoira is metame b'maga. The masa, we'll see in the Gemara further. Oy becholol. What does that refer to? Ze aver anechol menachai ve'ein boy lahalas arucha. This is speaking about a bone that was severed from a chai, and as opposed to the previous brisa where there was enough meat to regenerate, here there is not enough flesh to regenerate. Ve'ein boy lahalas arucha. It's not metama boil, but it is metama magu b'masa. Oy b'meis, what is that referring to? Ze aver anechol menameis. And here Tosfos adds the words that in the third line of the top Tosfos, ve'ein boy kedei lahalos. It does not have enough flesh to regenerate. So those are the first three halachas. Oy bekever, or in a kever, amar Rish Lakish. So this really is not the end of the brisa, because the brisa are tanoim and Rish Lakish is an amira. But this, now that we darshan each word in the pasuk, we're bringing Rish Lakish's drasha for oy bekever. What does that refer to? Ze kever shalifnei adibur. This refers to a grave that was before Har Sinai, or as the Rishonim explained, Tosfos and the Rosh and others explain that a kever of a goy after the Kabbalah HaTorah, after Hashem spoke the Torah to Klal Yisrael, Zekever Shalifnei Adibur, either a Yisrael's, and actually we could see it here in the Meforish on the side that he explains this. The Meforish says And what's the halacha? She'ein metam in bo'oil. So a Jew status changed from before Kabbalah Satara to after Kabbalah Satara. Before Kabbalah Satara, it was not Metame Bo'oyel, a Jew, but it was Metame B'maga B'masa. After Matan Tara, Adam Kiyamus Bo'oyel. So it's not only Metame, a goof of a Yid is Metame La'achar Matan Torah, not only Mago Masa, but even by oil, but a Goy La'achar Adibur, says the Mefarish, remains like Koydem Adibur. And it's not Metame, but oil, it's only Metame, but Mago Masa. Toisvis, in the second Toisvis here, Oy Bekever, speaks out that Bepashtis, this Sugi is going like Reb Shimon and not like the Rabbanan. We have a machlokes between Reb Shimon and the Chacham in Yevam Estaf Samach Aleph that Reb Shimon holds that Kivrei Akum are not Metame Boil. The Rabbanan hold that Kivrei Akum are also Metame Boil. So this Gemara Bepash is going like Reb Shimon because Reb Shimon holds that even though Kivrei Akum are not Metame Boil, they remain always in a status of Lifnei Adibur. And how does Reb Shimon learn this out from Adam ki yamis boil, atem kriyum Adam, ve'ein umis oilum kriyum Adam. Only a Jew is called an Adam, and a Goy is not called an Adam. We'll soon see exactly what this means. A beautiful pshat from the Tiferes Yisrael in Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yudalid. But Reb Shimon Shita is that there's no tumis oil by a Goy, or by a Yid Kaidem Matan Torah. And, however, even though there's no tumas oil, Reb Shimon agrees that there's tumas mago masa. According to the Chachamim, says Taisvis, not only is there mago masa, there's tumas oil. And this pasuk is trying to tell us, even things where there is no tumas oil, there's still tumas mago masa. So l'chayra, it's going like Reb Shimon. So before we get into Reish Lakish's raya from this brisa, it's kedai to speak out the Tiferes Yisrael. And the Tiferes Yisrael says in Boyoz, there in Perek Gimel, he says, in Pirkei Avos, he says, Va'agav da'asu liyodon, name about milsa shemitzvah lefarsmoy. He says, this is a mitzvah to be mefarsim. He says, all my life I had a question on what Chazal say in Yevamos, which we just said. Atem kriyum adam, ve'ein umis oilum kriyum adam. The goyim are not called adam. So the Tiferes Yisrael, I don't understand, would seem to be saying that a goy is not an adam, he's not a mensch, he's not a human being. V'chisal kedatach, shechazal yorim al akim sheyesh leitzelam alikim, kefi shebirarnu, this is going on the Mishnah, that a chaviv adam shenivr betzelam alikim. Are you going to say that a goy is not called an adam? He is created in tzelam alikim. Sheyi anech shevrak kebehema, he's considered chashom like a behema. And besides that, Rabbi Yishlam said, "V'yisimli segula mikolo amim." Is Hashem saying that all the nations are like behemoths, and you should be a segula to me, to Hashem, from all the animals and from all the monkeys that look like Adam? So you should be a segula. It seems very difficult that that's what is meant in that pasuk. And if you're going to say that all their actions are like the actions of a behemah, and a behemah is someone who doesn't get schar v'onesh, reward and punishment. That's against all the chassidei umis oilam, he says, that will be zoicha. The Rambam tells the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kufhei, the chassidei umis oilam, yeshlam chelik l'olam abo. If he's only like a behemah, then he won't be able to get olam abo. And he says, look at all the chassidim that we know that are makir, that there's a Rabbeinu Shloilam, and they believe that the Torah came from Hashem, and look, the Gemilz Chasarim that they did with Klal Yisrael, and what they did to the whole world, like he brings Yanar, made a certain medical discovery that saved so many people's lives, and Drake, Shehevia Kartoffel Europa, he brought from the New World, he brought back the potato to Europe, Shema'akev Kamapomarov, that it stopped hunger many times, and Gutenberg, who brought us Shehimtzia Satfus, he brought the printing press, The schar that he gets for spreading Torah in the world through the printing press, and the chassid Reichlin, who sacrificed his life to save the shasin, which the Kaiser Maximilian wanted to burn, and all the priests wanted to burn it, and he risked his life, and eventually he was shunned aside. The Kaiser listened to him. They didn't burn the shas. Are we going to say that these are actions of behemoths and they'll get no reward to Olam Haba? It seems very difficult. There's a very long Tveres Yisrael here, and the bottom line of the Tveres Yisrael is that, of course, the pshat is like this. Atem kriyum adam ve'enum asam kriyum adam. We do find that they are called ha-adam. And he asked a further question. If they're not called Adam, then how can they be called the man? They should certainly not be referred to as the man. And the bottom line of his lengthy answer is that Klal Yisrael shares something with Adam Harishon. Atem kriyum adam ve'enum asam kriyum adam means, just like we find, Bezois Yovoi Aaron al HaKodesh. It doesn't just mean Aaron should come into the Kodesh. It means the Bnei Aaron, who are called after their forefather Aaron. Or we find Va'avdi David Melech Aleihem. And Melech Aleihem, my servant David will be a king over them. It's not referring to David, it's referring to Mashiach ben David. But a descendant is called after the name of his ancestor. So too, we're the only ones who are to be called after our ancestor Adam. Why? Because we share something with Adam that the nations, the Gentiles of the world, do not share. Just like Adam was created min Adama, from the earth, and that's why he's called Adam. He was a Yetzir Kap of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was created by Hashem himself. In that sense, when we speak about spirituality, we too were created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. He gave us the Torah. He brought us to Har Sinai. There's so much that Hashem did, so to speak. Kafalem Har Kegigas. He forced us to accept the Torah originally. So there was so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to create Klal Yisrael to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, the pasuk says the Tveres Yisrael, Am Zu Yatzarti Li. I created this people. Therefore, Tehilasa Yisaperu, they should tell my praise. In other words, the Tveres Yisrael said, it's not such a gedula that we are called Adam. We're called Adam because just like Adam was created by Hashem himself, our holiness as a people comes because Hashem worked with us that we should attain that holiness. And therefore, they shouldn't praise themselves, they should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for what they have reached in terms of spirituality. Whereas the Goyim, Hashem didn't work with them. They worked on their own. Whatever they attained, which was much less than the Jewish people, but in a sense they worked harder for it, says the Tveres Yisrael, and they achieved it on their own. But they don't have that similarity to Adam HaRishon, that their Kedusha was created by Hashem himself. So that's why, when it comes to the word Adam, there, Atem Kriyim Adam, you are called Adam, just like the Bnei Aaron are called Aaron, and the Bnei David, Mashiach is called David, you're called Adam because you share that commonality with Adam, that you're a Yetzir Kap of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of Kedusha. When it comes to Ha-Adam, there, that doesn't refer to Adam HaRishon, because the Tveres Yisrael says, you don't say Ha-Avram, Ha-Yitzchak, Ha-Yakov. Hada means the generic man. There he says, of course, all these people that we discussed before, they certainly, they could have been Hasidei Yom Yisraelim, great people, look what they did for civilization. The man! That, of course, can refer to a goy just as well. So it's not a put-down on a goy, it's just a statement that a Adam, when we use the name of Adam HaRishon, that only refers, for the reason that we gave before, to Klal Yisrael. But a generic man, of course, a good goy, could be included in Ha-Adam, the man. For further elaboration, Ayin Shum. Now we go back to our sugya, and we're going to bring a proof from this brisa to Rish Lakish. Says the Gemara, "Hi, Avram and Ameis, Hechidami. What's this case of Avram and Ameis, where Ain Boy Kedei LaHalois, there is not enough flesh to regenerate? Id is be Etzim Kesayra. If it's a case of Etzim Kesayra, that there's a bone as big as a barley grain, Hainan Negev Batsim. That's the case that we had before, which we learned from the beginning of the pasuk, Hanegev Batsim. That's speaking about Etzim Kesayra." And we learned that already. Ella, what do you have to say? The let's be add some kesara. It's not as big as a barley grain. Va'afili hachi. And even so, Rachman Rabbi, the Torah was marbred. So we, Rish Lager says, I have a proof from here that when it comes to Magor Masa, which this pasuk is speaking about, because it says, Hanageya batsam, oi becholol, oi bameis, oi bekever, it's all speaking about Magor. The Torah was marbred, even in etzim. That's not kesara. And even if it doesn't have Busser, Karoi, it's not able to regenerate, because if it was able to regenerate, then it would be oil. Since it's written in this pasuk, it must be, it doesn't have, so it's a riot to Rish Lakish, that it's Metame, and a Nazir would be Megaleach on it. Amr Lach Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, no. La'olam de Isbe, really, it does have Etzim Kesari. You have no Raya. Vim Eino Yinyin L'Magoi, Tnu Yinyin L'Masoi. As we said before, we learned from this Pasuk Maga, because the Pasuk says Hanagea Batsim, but how do we know carrying Masa? Masa is not written in this Pasuk. So Rabbi Yochanan says, that's what I use the Pasuk for. Not like you, Rish Lakish, I use it, where it doesn't have flesh to regenerate, and if the Maga, it should still be Metame. Even if it's not Etzim Kesari. No, I learn it from Masa. And Einechanami, the Rush, asks Sarchi and Lerish Lakish Minole, the Etzim Kesari Metame B'Masa. Bishloim, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it's very good that not only do we learn Maga from this Pasuk, we learn Masa as well. But according to Rish Lakish, who uses this Pasuk for a case where it's not Etzim Kesaira, that it's at least Matam Maga Masa, even though it's not Matam Ba'oil, when it's Eina Karoi, it doesn't have enough flesh to regenerate. But how will he then know the Allah of Masa, carrying, is not mentioned in the Pasuk, and we have no deduction according to Rish Lakish. Rush remains with its source. Eat. Continues the Gemara on the next part of the Mishnah. Umaze bishlishi ubishvi visoiser. That if the person became Tomei in these various ways, on which a Nazir is Megaleach, so he has to first get Hazor, he has to get sprinkled on the third and the seventh day. And then he is soiser, and he does, the Mishnah concludes, Ve'ene maskalimnois, Ela achitori, only starts a recount. Because till now he broke anything of Naziris that he had before. Now, after he goes through Hazor, Shlishi Vishvi, he will start anew. But when is that? Achi Yitor, when he becomes Tor. Ibor Elud, Bnei Yeshiva had a question. Hodik Toni Achi Yitor. That's which we learned, that he has to wait until he becomes Tor. What does that mean? Does it mean Bishvikoi, already on the seventh day, he can begin counting for a new count of Naziris, Ad Ovid Herv Shemesh, we are not Goyris Ad Ovid Herv Shemesh. The Gemara Shal now is it totally on the seventh day? As Tosus explains, after he went to the mikveh, and he had Azor, and he was Megaleach, that day itself he can begin Naziris Tahara, or are you going to tell me it waits till the next day, till he has to bring his karbonis? Umani Reb Lezer, this will be the sheet of Reb Lezer. Actually, we had this machloikus before on Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis, between Reb Lezer and the Chachamim. Reb Lezer says that the Nazir became Tami can begin his new counting on the seventh day. He doesn't have to wait till the bring of the karbonis. Or maybe, in fact, he has to be toivel, and he has to get azor on the seventh day. Then he has to shave off, make the giluach, but then he can't start counting on the seventh day. He has to wait till the eighth day, till umay achi tor achi yovik karbonoisov umani rabbanini. And who is it going like the rabban who say that he has to wait on daf yud chesed base? We learned he has to wait till the eighth day till he brings his karbonis. Tashma bring a raya midik tony sefer, since it says in the sefer of the Mishnah, which is are, as we saw in yesterday's shir, that the bottom of this Amud, the following Mishnah, is really a continuation of the Mishnah, Daf Mem Testament Beis. So, since we learned in the Sefer that in those situations of Tumah, where a nazir is not megaleach, maschil u'moyne miyad, he can begin counting right away after he's not soyser the previous counting. And right after he gets hazah of shlishi u'shvi, he can begin counting right away. Horesha Mayachitar. So what is the difference between the Resha Mem Testament Beis where we say that he has to wait till it becomes Tor and Nun Dalad Amid Aleph, the Sefer of the Resha, which says, no, for these following Tumas, he doesn't have to wait until it becomes Tor. He only has to wait till he does a Zohar, Shlishi Shri, and right away he can start. What's the difference between one Mishnah and the other? So you have to say, Maschul Moinam Yad, Ha Reisha, Mai Achiyatar. What does Achiyatar of the Reisha mean? Achiyavi Karban Isam on the eighth day. Umani Rabbanin, it's going like the Rabbanin. The army that they said, Nazirus de Tahara, Achmini Lechailad, the Nazirus of Tahara cannot begin on the seventh day. It has to wait till the eighth day. So the Reisha uses the expression Achiyatar till the eighth day, till he brings a Karbanis. And the next Mishnah, which we're going to start now, that says no, he's allowed to start right away, meaning on the seventh day after he went through the mikveh and the azor and the giluach, then he's allowed to begin right away. He doesn't have to wait till he brings his karbonis. Begins the next Mishnah. Avol hasichichois v'haprois. But these types of tumah, which we'll learn exactly what it is on Amud Beis, the next Mishnah is going to itemize things that may be metameh, but the nazir is not megaleach for various reasons. It could be it's only a tumah derabbanan, as is the case here, sichichai surprise, as we'll soon see on Amud Beis, or the next case, beis apras, only derabbanan, or it could be a tumah deraisa, but it's a tumah deraisa that's not mechayiv the nazir to be megaleach. Avol sichichai surprise. Ubeis apras. What is beis apras? Explains Tosfos. One line, the last word on the line, right before it gets very wide, beis apras, sada shenachrish by kever. A sada in which a kever was plowed over. Va'at kuf amo. Choshu chachomim. This is only a tumah derabbanan. Chomim were afraid. Shem edil de la machrisha batzomis. V'nishtar shem etzim kisar. V'leka tumah elam derabbanan. They were afraid that perhaps the plow went underground until it found a bone and spread out the bone up till 100 amos. So a person has to consider that whole area of 100 amos, tumah, but it's only a tumah derabbanan because really the word pras means it's fragmented. And they were worried that the blade of the plow caused these bones to break and spread them out. But really, it's not such a chash because we really are not so worried that the blade can go that deep that it can cause these bones to get spread out. So these broken bones that there's a tumah midrabbanan, maybe it was spread 100 amos, that is only a din midrabbanan, and therefore the nazir is not Migaleich on it. The Eretz Amin, as we'll see again on Amud Beis, the Rabbanim were Geyser for one of two reasons, that Eretz Amin also makes a person Tomei. Va'agoylu va'doifig. What is Goylu va'doifig? It's Machloik is here between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. Rashi, she thinks, Subastav Dalam Abayz is, as Tosis brings down here in the second wide line of Tosis, Goylu zeh kisuyor, and that's the cover of the Aron. Va'doifig, who doifin, shalt studin, that is the walls of the Aron on the side. The Rabbeinu Tam asks the Kashan Rashi, and because that Rabbeinu Tam learns, Goylu is the matseva, and doifig is are the stones on which the Matseva rests. So they also give off Tumah, but the Nazir does not have to be Megalech. Urevi is Dam, and also Urevi is Dam, V'oil V'roivat Samois. Urevi is Dam, in an oil, and also Roivat Kavavat Samois, explains Tosis, even though they're Metamim boil, but the Nazir is not Megalech. And Tosis says that really, the Mishnah should have said anything less than a chatzi lug dam, or anything less than a half a kav. So why did it use the expression revias dam? You could have more than a revias dam. You could have more than a roiva kav atzomis, as long as you have less than half a kav. So Tosis explains that since in the first parak of Alois, it explains that these things, if you have so little, you only have a revius halug of dam, and you only have a roiva hakava vatsamais, that's enough to be matame. So that's why it uses that lashon. But really, it would be anything less, even a maximum, anything less than a half a lug or half a roiva would also not cause the nazar to be megaleach. The kalim anoigim b'meis, our kalim that touch your meis, and Tosa says over here that the Gemara is going to explain which kalim we're talking about, because the chayra, the kalim that touch your meis, we learned before on nun gilam b'meis, that's cher of harer kecholol, and the chayra that should be metameh, like the aviyah vois hatumah for tumah shiva. So we'll have to see exactly what kalim that touch the meis are not, do not cause the nazar to be megaleach. Ubimei sifra bimei gomrai. This refers to a mitzayra. A mitzayra has a number of stages. There's hezger, which we're going to learn about on Amud Beis, where the nazir is locked up to see, the mitzayra is locked up to see whether he is a mitzayra or not. And those days, if he's a nazir, they are oila, as we'll see on Amud Beis, to the days of his naziris. Sifra, which our Gemara speaks about, are the 7 days between, 7 days of Tahara, between one shaving and the second shaving. Gomroi is when he becomes mukhlat, that he is a mitzayra. So he's locked up until he's determined to be a mitzayra. He's mukhlat, he is determined to be a mitzayra. That's the period until the first shaving of Tahara. And then you have the days of his counting between one shaving and the other. So the days of counting and the days following when he became mukhlat, determined that he is a mitzora, al elu eina nazir megaleach. The nazir is not megaleach for tzaras, umazir b'shlishi b'shvi, and he has sprinkling of the third and the seventh. The Gemara will explain what is that going on. Umazir b'shlishi b'shvi has returned to daf nun dalet amud beis, ve'einai soiser es hakoidmim. In all of these cases, we are not soiser the days before the tuma, because they are not, let's say, the tuma derabban in those cases. So whatever he counted before the tuma is not soiser. It doesn't break it. He can still use those days toward his amount of days that he needs for naziris. Umaschul moine miyad. And in this case, he doesn't have to wait for his karbonos, as we learned on Amud Aleph. He, right after the Azor Shlishi, he can begin to count right away, continue the count. The days that were in between, he can't use those days itself. The Korban Aimloy, he doesn't have to bring a Korban for these types of Tumah. Be'emes Amru, and Be'emes they said, Hazov Azova, if a man or a woman have a discharge from their bodies which renders them to become Azov or Azova, so those days, the Mishnah is going to say, are oila for the person towards his count of Naziris. And also of Yimei Hezger, right? Those are the days where he was locked up to determine whether he is a Mitzayra or not. Yimei Hezger Shom Mitzayra, Harei Elu Oilin Loi. All of these cases that we just mentioned, they are actually oila towards his count of Naziris. Begins the Gemara of Eilen Asich Chois. Now we explain the first two cases of the Mishnah. The Sichachos are Ilan HaMesach Al Ha'aretz, a tree that is overhanging on the earth, as the Rosh here explains that the branches are, the leaves and the branches are separate one from the other. They do not consist of a canopy. Under this is a kezias of a mace. So now, says the Rosh, ve'ein yadua tachas eza. We don't know where that kezias of the mace is. The man went under the various leaves, and under one of them, various branches, and under one of them, there is a kezias of the mace. He doesn't know if he went under that one. If they were all connected together, there was no separation between one and the other, so then whatever one he would go under would make him tummy. But since there's separations, and he doesn't know under which one he went, and the same in the next case, uprois, these are stones, prois avonim, hayoitzim, the lashon, the gears of the bach is prois avonim hayoitzis, these are protrusions that extend from a wall, and again, as the Rosh points out, just like in the case of the branches, each branch is a tefach, and each stone that comes out of the wall is a tefach. And we don't know where the kezias of the mace was, under which protrusion. There was an oil here, but we don't know under which protrusion it was. Whether he became tummy by going under an oil, which was a roof over his head, and the kezias of the mace, we're not sure. And the Rosh says it's speaking about a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore we have the rule, Safek Tumah, Rishus HaRabim Tor. The Chachamim were Goyzer on the Tumah. But if this was a case, says the Rosh of Rishus HaYachid, then we have a rule, Safek Tumah, Rishus HaYachid is Tumah, Midaraisa. So the whole Tumah over here is a Tumah Derabbanan. So therefore the Nazir is not Megaleich on it. Continues the Gemara to explain the mission of Eretz Amim. There is a Tumah of Eretz Amim as well, but it's only a Tumah Derabbanan. And likewise, a Nazir is not Megaleach. Iboy alluded b'nei Yeshiva had a question. Eretz Amim Mishim Mavir Gazer Oleh. Oidilma Mishim Gusha Gazer Oleh. Why did the Chachamim make the special Zera that if somebody goes to the Eretz Amim, to the lands of the nations outside of Eretz Rol, that he becomes Tumah? Was it a land Tumah, or was it an air Tumah? Was it Avira air, or was it Gusha land? And as Toysus here in Divrei Maskil, Eretz Amim explains, and also the Rosh, that what was the purpose of making this Tumah? Was it, in the Divrei Maskil, Eretz Amim, the Toysus, the fourth line, says, Kedesh la Yetzim Eretz l'chutz l'aretz. It was a special Tumah that people should not go out easily from Eretz Yisrael to chutz l'aretz. You should know if you're going to go out, you're going to become Tumah. That's Avira. Then it means it doesn't. Let's say you're going in a, as Tosfos says, b'sheita teva migdol. You're going in an enclosure. You're going in. They're carrying you in the air in a box, or in a. You're going in a wagon. So there is no. If it was avira, if it was because you stepped out of Eretz Yisrael, then it doesn't matter if you're being carried in a wagon, which would protect you from any mace that was on the floor. Because there's an isser here that you shouldn't go out of Eretz Yisrael, then it's an isser, you're in the airspace. Or perhaps it was an isser that had to do with land. Because, as the Rosh points out, in Chutz Lords, they failed very often to make tziyunim, to make markings, to make a matseva to show that there were bones here of mesim, and therefore we were afraid that the person is walking or coming in contact with the bones, for example, Tosfos says, of the mesim of the mabul. Or because roiv miyistrol shenergu b'chutz l'aretz, the many bodies, unfortunately, of Jewish people that were killed in chutz l'aretz. So therefore, it's a halacha of tumah. But then that would only apply when the person's walking on the ground. But if he was being carried in a box, where he would not be coming into the ground, then l'chai reina chanami, he should not become tameh. So therefore, the halacha by Yesheda Teva Migdal is that any large closed container, which has a capacity of 40 sa'a or more, does not contact tumah, and also it serves as a barrier from any tumah that's under it. So if it's a din of gusha, of a shil of kvorim, then I have to come in contact directly with the land. And if I have a protection in this closed shade of teva migdal, this wagon, this tower, big box, whatever it might be, that's totally enclosed, separating me, making a barrier from the tumah, then it would be tor. But if the halacha is because you're going out of the airspace of Eretz Yisrael, you're going into chutzlaretz, and we don't want you to travel out of Eretz Yisrael, then it has nothing to do with the land, then even if he's going in the airspace, he would also become tumah. That is the shaila here of the Gemara. Eretz Amim Mishum Avira Gozer Adem Mishum Gusha Gozer La Toshma. It says in a Mishnah concerning all the dinim of the Mishnah, and one of them is Eretz Amim, Umazda B'Shloish Yishri. He gets sprinkled on the third and the seventh. Ve'i Amrat Mishum Avira Hazol Lamali. If this is an airspace tumah, then it has nothing to do with a kever, with bones, with a mace. So what's the union of Gimel Zayin? Gimel Zayin is only halacha in Tumas Meis. Elul Amishim Gusha. It must be because a ground issue, because of Kvorim on the ground, and Enechanami, if he's being transported in a Shedet Teva Migdal, he would be Tor. Hachinami Mistavra, and the Gemara says this also makes sense. Midik Tani, since we learned in the Mishnah, Vekelim Anoigim B'meis, Kelim the touch of meis are also not a reason for the Nazir to be Megaleach. So Hani Kelim B'nei Hazoninen, are these Kelim B'nei Hazor, do they become Tomei that they should get a sprinkling of the third and the seventh? Elishmami no Ashara. It must be that the Gemara had said Loi Loilam Eimalach. We're up to four lines before the end of the Yomid. Loi Loilam Eimalach Mishabavira Vechitani Ashara. The Gemara said, the Gemara gives the teretz. It's no riot speaking about Gusha. It could be Mishabavira. It says in the Mishnah that you sprinkle the third and the seventh. That's going on the other halachas in the Mishnah that pertain to Tumas Meis. Ein Echanami, there won't be any Azor, Gimel V'Zayin, on Eretz Amin because it's an Isser of Avir and it's not an Isser of Gusha. Hachinami Mistavra, now the Gemara brings a riot to that it's going Asharo and it could be Avira. Midik, Tanavi Kalim, and Legim B'Meis, Sahani Kalim, B'nei Azon, Ninan. You're speaking about Kalim, as Tosfos explains here, that there's not a din of Tuma Shiva. Tosfos says that it's speaking about, for example, Kalim, even though we learned, Tosfos asks, we learned Cherev Harev Kechol, that a Kalim that touches a mace, it's as if he's touching a mace himself, and therefore the Cherev has a din of Aviyah Voisa Tuma, so the Lechar Aviyah Voisa Tuma is a Tuma Shiva. And therefore, if somebody touches it, should require hazah gimel v'sheni, like a person who becomes tummy from a mace. Tosfos says that you have to say that Rabbeinu Tam says ein echanami. This is Rabbeinu Tam that we mentioned before that cher v'rei kachol is only a halacha by a kli matches. And our Gemara is speaking about the kli beged, kli shetev, where they become tor through a mikveh, which refers to kli beged or kli. Eights, and oh, Einachanami, there it's only a tuma of Tumas Her, a Her of Shemesh, of one night. It's not a tuma Shiva. There is no Hazar Gimel Vishvi. So that's what the Gemara's Kasha is, Rabbeinu Tam says. Hachinami Mistavra, Midik, Tani Vekalim, Anoigim B'meis, Hani Kalim B'nei Hazar Ninan. These must be Klishetev. And Rabbeinu Tam holds Klishetev. There is no din of Shiva, Tuma Shiva, of Cherav Harev Kecholol. So why does the Mishnah say Gimel Vishri? Must be that it's on Shara. So just like concerning the Kalim, the touch of mace, there's no Gimel Vishri Hazar. So too on Eretz Amim, it could be Mishum Avira, and there's no Hazar Gimel Vishri. The Tosfos says, in the middle of the bottom Tosfos Toshma, Mishmaitz and Kashil Mashapirish are Rav Yitzchak Misimpunt. At the beginning of this year, we mentioned Rav Yitzchak Misimpunt. That his sheet is the Cherev HaRei Kachol doesn't only go on Kli Matchais, it also goes on Kli Shetev, on Kli Begodim and Kli Eitzim. If so, if there's no Chilik, say if so, then what's the Gemara's Kasha here? Midik, Tarev Kalim and Noigim and Meis. Yes, because according to Rav Yitzchak Misimpunt, all Kalim, Kli Matchais, and Kli Eitz and Kli Shetev, Kli Begadim as well do require Gimel V'Zayin because Cherev HaRei Kechol includes them as well. So what's the Gemara's Kasha here? So that's where Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with Rabbi Yitzchak. And Tosfos then says, perhaps we could give a teretz that Ein Echanami, we won't be garis the word here, Hani Kalim, but we'll take the word Kalim out. And we'll just say Hane b'nei hazor inun hachinami mistavra midik tani v'kelim hanoigim b'meis v'chulu. And what is it referring to? It's not referring to kelim. It's referring to the case of hezger, the sipur and gomroi, the case of taras. Taras is not a chiyuv of gimel v'zayin. That's only by tuma from a mace. So it's going on v'chulu, on etc. And you take out the word kalim. The kasha, according to Rabbi Yitzchak Simpunt, is not on the kelim that touched a mace, but it's going on in the mitzayra mukhla, the mitzayra who's counting his days. And so the mitzayra has no gimel v'zayin, v'chulu, etc. The mitzayra has no tumah. So what does it mean that the gimel v'zayin? It must be going ashara. So hu adin gabei eretz amim ein echanami could be avira, and the tumah, the hazov gimel v'zayin is going ashara. That is the raya to the gemara's teretz. There's no raya that eretz amim is mishum Gusha, and therefore someone who is going in a Sheita Teva Migdal, if it's Mishum Avira, would in fact be Tamei.